Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Thank you, Mace. Appreciate it, man. Even with Mace taking a week off, he's still part of the show. By the way, Kirk Morrison, just a little bit of everything from Kirk. Love nothing better than talking to Kirk Morrison about sports, but we got into some real topics there. And when I say real topics, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I'll take a few phone calls here, 877-710-ESPN. You guys want to be a part of the Sliwa Show. The one thing I'll say is on the NFL side of things, they still got a lot to figure out. The way that was explained by Kirk Morrison, let me tell you, how do they do free agency? I don't think they do free agency. Steve in L.A., appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, hi, Alan. I've called before, obviously, about Lakers and all that kind of good stuff, but I want to touch on the lack of leadership by the NCAA by not having a commissioner for basketball or football.
Yeah.
It shows the bad optics with what the Big East did. And then instead of canceling the NCAA tournament altogether, they should have done a pause, wait 30 to 40 days, see if they can resume it at a later time. So the leadership there lacks. And then as far as the Pac-12 and Larry Scott, if he wants to save face, mm-hmm. he needs to call up the Big 12, get Texas, Oklahoma State, and TCU into the Pac-12, expand it to keep up with the arms race with the SEC and the Big 10 if you want to compete in football. I'm not worried about basketball because Mick Cronin will right the ship. But as far as Pac-12 football, Larry Scott needs to get off his high horse in his white ivory tower. He didn't sign a good deal with ESPN or Fox. He needs to go to the Big 12 and merge, take the best of the Big 12.
That could happen, by the way.
Super conference.
Steve, that could happen. I appreciate you calling it. I think the earliest that could happen is 2024. I think that's the earliest that can happen. But, Steve, you were just mentioning, you were talking about the NCAA, and if they would have kind of took a pause rather than just cancel the whole thing. I'm with you on that. Dick Vitale was on a little bit earlier on Get Up. That was the point that he was making. That was the reference that he was trying to get across. He was trying to get across exactly what you just said. Maybe they should have put a pause. Jay Billis was on the Sedano Show a little earlier talking about the NCAA. They just don't have no leadership. So because they don't have any leadership, that's a big reason, too, why some of these things didn't happen in the NCAA. But I don't think now is the time to kind of sit back and say, all right, well, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. Nobody's been in this position, unprecedented, as they say. It really is. Okay, a couple of these NFL guys, if there's going to be free agency, by the way, do you think free agency can happen in the NFL? Free agency is supposed to happen on March 18th. What is that, Wednesday? It's supposed to happen on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. How's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? Like, I feel like that's impossible that that's going to happen, but the conversation, I feel like the way it's been treated over the last couple of days was like, no, this is still going to go as planned. Dan Graziano, ESPN Insider, his thoughts on the draft, free agency, CBA voting, all that stuff.
There will be a draft in that teams will select players, but the question is to what extent they can have a large public gathering. As of now, obviously the reason these things are being canceled is because we don't want large public gatherings. And we're talking about 6 weeks from now, so the league has to make a decision on this pretty quickly. They have not yet, but it seems as if it's a fair expectation to think that there will have to be some adjustment to how the draft is conducted, whether you can do it with all those people. There were 600,000 people in Nashville last year at the draft, so it's unlikely that that would be the case. It could be a situation where it's like they did it in the old days before it was televised, where they did it by conference call or by, you know, calling in the picks. There will be, what I was told last night, players selected by teams. There may not be the huge big show.
Hey, just quickly to follow up on that, do you believe that there's any chance that gets delayed based on the fact that right now, without the travel and all of that sort of thing that we're accustomed to, players having pro days, all of that, is one of the things they are discussing, to the best of your knowledge, moving back the date in late April?
I was not told anything about that. Now, the disclaimer here is the news cycle is moving at a ludicrous rate.
Right.
And so things could change, obviously. But as of 7:30 last night, Eastern time, I was told no plans to delay the draft. The question, of course, is whether you can have the event.
All right, so that's on that's specifically on the draft. Field Yates on the NFL and how everything is at this point continuing as planned, but can that change? Of course it can change. We saw everything that happened in the last 72 hours.
The league has deemed right now, and let me stress right now, that it can continue with its intended schedule of beginning free agency at 4 p.m. Eastern time on March 18th, with a legal negotiating window opening up at noon Eastern time on March 16th, which is this upcoming Monday. So the NFL feels as though this critical period of the calendar, given the nature of it, you're not bringing a bunch of people together, you're not flying people in mass all around the country, which is part of the reason why the NFL feels like it can continue forward with its free agency planning.
So there, I feel like there's really only two sports that are sort of continuing. So the NFL's got a couple things in front of them here that looks like nothing's going to change for now. But like I mentioned, we see how quick things have been moving and how quick decisions have been made. I mean, the NBA, how quick did that happen? And they were in a much different predicament once Rudy Gobert contracted the virus. But the NBA and UFC, I'm sorry, the NFL and UFC might be the only two sports that things are still in motion. Dana White, who is the president of the UFC, this is an interesting one for me. I heard it earlier in the day. I definitely wanted to, you know, obviously play it in the show. I've kind of gone under the assumption that everybody's on halt right now. Everybody. Not just sports, but there's many industries just on halt. Everybody's kind of waiting and trying to figure things out as we go. UFC and Dana White, that doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
Every time we put on an event, this just isn't now because of the coronavirus that we're going to do extra health and safety. We always go overboard. In the over 25 years that the UFC has been around, there's never been a death or serious injury in the UFC. Think about that. Think about our sport and think about there's never, you know why? Because we always go overboard with health and safety. And that's what we're going to do here. I talked to the president and the vice president of the United States today about this. And they're taking this very serious, you know, and they're saying, be cautious, be careful, but live your life and stop panicking. Everybody is panicking, and instead of panicking, we're actually getting out there and working with doctors and health officials and the government to figure out how we keep the sport safe and how we can continue to put on events.
All right, so that's Dana White right there. I think I'm just on a completely opposite side. I mean, I don't know what more to say. I think we're in a predicament right now where, you know, you got to watch and see what all the other sports are doing, and I think there's a responsibility. There's a reason why they don't want people 250 more people in one place. There's a reason why you want that social distance they talk about, that 6 feet social distance. There's a reason for all that. And I feel like the right thing, put it this way, if the UFC's got an event going on, I'm not going to be there. Right? Like, I don't want to be at a place where there are these big time gatherings. I was joking around. Actually, it wasn't a joke. This was serious. I was telling Mace, I'm like, Mace, I was at Starbucks earlier today, just hanging out at Starbucks, trying to prep for the show. What are some good topics I could come with? All that stuff, right? That's what I typically do. I'm a lot of times I prep from a public area. So I don't do things at home. And I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to go home. You know, and I feel like that's probably what more and more people are going to do. If somebody told me right now, hey, Al, I got some great tickets to a UFC fight coming up. You in? It's like, absolutely not, I'm not in. I don't understand that one. And he might be on his own. UFC might be on its own on this one, because I don't think there's any other sports that haven't postponed. Earlier today was the Masters, right? NASCAR as well. Some of these big marathons that they're running. I mean, LA Marathon was just this past Sunday. It's crazy all the different events that were just going on. I mean, big time events that were just going on recently, and then everything just came to a complete halt Tuesday night, Wednesday, everything was shut down. If you got some UFC tickets for me, probably not going to be there. Probably not going to that event. Here's what we got coming up. Bruce Arthur, who's with the Toronto Star sports columnist, he's got a interesting article right now, and it's specifically about Rudy Gobert. And I found it fascinating in a sense because Rudy Gobert was no question about it, as careless as anybody, and was joking around about something where nobody thought was a, you know, obviously a joking matter, but it really got real after the situation with Rudy Gobert, and he was tested for the coronavirus. So we'll get his thoughts on his article coming up next. Stay right here at the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so in a week where we haven't had that much good news, one of the positives here, Chris Haynes puts out a tweet. Toronto Raptors say all players tested negative for the coronavirus. There's one still pending, specifically Serge Ibaka, who was guarding Rudy Gobert in the game. I think it was on Monday against the Toronto Raptors. So that's big, simply because you have a full team that took on the Utah Jazz. Two players on the Jazz have tested positive for coronavirus. And this will actually take me to Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star sports columnist, hopping on the Sliwa Show. Bruce, appreciate you taking some time and hopping on the show.
My pleasure, Alan.
Crazy times, my man. I read an article a little bit earlier today that you had put out on Twitter. An accidental hero makes North America sit up and take notice of the coronavirus. You're referring to Rudy Gobert. Can you do me a favor? Just maybe kind of walk those who haven't got a chance to read the article. Just kind of the thought process behind it. Because I know what you're saying, and I think there's a lot of people where this got very, very serious the moment you found out the news about Rudy Gobert. Not that it wasn't serious before, but like you can actually put a name and a face to the virus with somebody that's associated to the NBA. Maybe you could just kind of walk us a little bit through that.
Well, okay, so think of it this way. There's so much news all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, think about how our phones work. Think about how our mental environments work. There's just so much, especially with politics in the United States now, with even sports news, there's a ton. And no matter how bad something is, quite often you can put it in one of the boxes in your brain and go, oh, this is part of the world that I don't have to worry too much about. Mm. So as the coronavirus has come to North America, as it started in China and it came here, there's already problems all over the world, right? Like Italy's in big trouble, Iran, China, but those are distant. Mm. They might flit across your TV screen, but they're not in your life. And even as it was starting to happen in America, even as it was happening in Washington State, on Tuesday, New Rochelle, New York, which is a half an hour from New York City, was put under quarantine by the governor. Like, that's significant. But again, it's not, unless you live in New Rochelle, it's not where you live. And if it wasn't Rudy Gobert, people are mad at Rudy Gobert, and I understand that. He acted like an idiot. He acted like the virus didn't exist. He acted like it was not an issue at all. And to that I say, you know what? A lot of people were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were doing that right up until the moment where he tested positive. And when he tests positive, when the trainer for Oklahoma City runs out on the floor, when they delay that game, when the news comes out that he's tested, so they find out right before the game, like about 8:10, and then the NBA cancels or suspends the season at 9:31. When that happens, everyone in America knows that this is different. Mm. And when the cascading effects of that happen, the NHL, MLB, March Madness, all the whole list of everything that got canceled. Disneyland closed for the fourth time since 1955. If Rudy Gobert hadn't acted recklessly, maybe he still would have gotten the virus. But the fact that he's a guy who did act recklessly and then got it, and then the first signal to America on a national scale in a way that most people can't ignore happened on Wednesday night when the NBA made that decision, and they were right to do it. And now this virus, like, I'm a bit of a bummer to talk to you about this because the situation in America scares the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. I got friends there, I got family there. America is Canada's favorite television show. We love you guys. But the testing situation there is scary, and the faster this got serious in America, the better. And Rudy Gobert was the guy who accidentally, idiotically, stupidly became not a, I call him a hero. It's not really a hero.
I know what you're
in
saying.
The way he is. Mm-hmm. But he's, because he changed the way America looked at it.
You know, Bruce, it's kind of a fascinating way to put it because I can relate to it. I've been on all week, and I'll tell you, when that news broke, I was actually on the radio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, am I following along with what's going on? Yeah, I am. But like you said, okay, what's happening in Italy it hasn't touched me yet. Like, is it affecting my day-to-day life? I was at a Lakers game. Lakers played Brooklyn on Sunday. Or, I'm sorry, on Tuesday. On Tuesday, they played Brooklyn right across the street here at Staples Center. I was at that game. So I'm still at arenas where there's 20,000 people packed. But there's something to what you said. The moment that happened with Rudy Gobert, kind of a wake-up call. And that's unfortunate that it took that. But what you're referencing to, which is, you know, the main reason I wanted to have you on, I can relate to it. And I'm sure there's a ton of people that are relating to exactly the way you kind of set up that story and described it.
Well, and if it wasn't Rudy, it was going to be somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Like Donovan Mitchell, think about this for a second. This is why I've talked to epidemiologists about this, and this is what scares them about this virus, is that Donovan Mitchell was on the court, right? He'd gone through warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
He was ready to play, which means he was felt healthy enough to play. He was asymptomatic. This happened to a soccer player in Italy at Juventus, Daniel Regani. Mm-hmm. He was asymptomatic. Test came up positive. People can walk around with this and give it to other people and not even know that they're carrying it around.
Not have those regular symptoms, right?
Exactly. And it's more dangerous than the flu. And the more people you put in close contact, within 6 feet, if you sneeze, you can give someone the virus. And that's how it's spreading everywhere. And here's the number that I think people really need to hear. And it's the scariest one I've heard. In Ohio, the head of the public health came out there and said, we're looking at community transmission. So community transmission is when you have people within the community giving it to each other. It's not like someone came from Wuhan, China, and you hung out with them and you got the virus. No, this is someone who has not been to China, not been to Italy, not been to Iran. They've stayed right in Los Angeles, right? And they've given you the virus. That's community transmission. In Ohio, they said, based on those trends, they estimate 1% of Ohio has the virus. That's 117,000 people at the time they had 5 positive tests because no one's getting tested in the United States. Mm. And so the numbers right now that you're seeing, all the numbers, like there's 12,000, I think it is right now in the United States, it's a fraction of the number of people. And sure. So when Rudy Gobert does this, all of a sudden you have to have conversations about this isn't normal anymore. You can't just walk around and go to groupings of 20,000 people. You probably shouldn't be going to the movies. You probably shouldn't be going necessarily to restaurants. You should be ordering in to keep the economy going, but maybe not going. Like, social distancing is what happens when you've lost track of the virus in the first place. And that's happened in America right now. And the Rudy Gobert is living 7-foot French proof that you can get this. And it can be a huge problem, and you won't know until it's too late, till you pass it on to 3 people, because that's about the average. And so it's scary right now. Like, this thing is going, if you go and read what's happened to Italy or what's happening in Washington State, this overwhelms healthcare systems. And if Rudy Gobert doesn't test positive, the NBA plays that night, the NBA and the NHL play on Thursday
in front
of fans, as does MLB. It keeps going until the clock stops.
Yeah, that, you know what, I actually haven't even thought about it that way. Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star, sports columnist, I have not thought about that. If he's not feeling those ill symptoms and gets tested, and that test comes out positive, all these games and the conference tournaments and all that is still going on. Of course, at some point it would stop, but the fact that it stopped on Tuesday and didn't stop on Friday, that's obviously, think about how many events would have taken place in just that small span right there. I guess I'll ask you this, and it sounds like you're beyond knowledgeable of everything going on. How is your life? Is your day-to-day completely changed? I mean, for me, and I think a lot of people, definitely here in the States, there's an incredible amount of adjusting going on because none of us are accustomed to this or what to do. How has your personal life changed?
Well, I've been writing about it since it happened, and actually a little bit before Rudy as well. And so it hasn't changed yet, but it's going to, because I write about sports, right? And you talk about sports. And ESPN is this massive company devoted to covering sports. There's all these channels, all these papers, all these websites that are built for the sports infrastructure to fill them. And I got to tell you, it's not going to happen for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to get used to that. Like, sports is going to come back eventually. But to hope that there's going to be a Stanley Cup awarded in hockey, or that the NBA, the Larry O'Brien Trophy is going to get awarded, I'm not sure that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at today, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's on the President's Coronavirus Council, he's the most trusted voice from the federal government, basically, on this virus. He's been talking about this stuff for decades now. He said the best case scenario is 8 to 9 weeks until the peak of the infection. So the sooner you get going on these things, you can change the curves entirely. There's a great piece in the New York Times, if you go look, and it shows you can adjust the sliders as to when you pick up your first case and if you isolate them and all this stuff. And you can see, you can change the course of this thing. That's the great thing about this virus. We can change it. Good government can change it. Good public health can change it. But in terms of what's going to happen with sports for a while, if the virus peaks in 8 weeks, let's say 10 weeks, that's...
From now, Bruce, you're saying right? From now?
Oh, yeah. So if it, like right now, if it's 10 weeks from now, that's early June.
Mm-hmm.
That's the peak.
Mm.
You still have to go down the other side. And for sports to play, I've talked to agents and executives, you kind of have to be sure that you're not going to have another Rudy Gobert, right?
Of course.
So how do you do that? You have to, even if you isolate your players, even if you have no fans in the stands, there's going to be a lot of people with this virus. And the other thing that's going to happen, and this is, I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I hope that the models are wrong. I hope that the epidemiologists are wrong. This is going to get really grim. This isn't the flu. This isn't the flu season. In a flu season, like, lots of people die. Thousands of people die. But the best case scenarios for this involve 50 to 100 million people getting the virus. The NBA had an internal consultant or an external consultant come in and talk to them, and they said 50 to 100 million people are going to get it as the range. There are ranges that are higher. Mm-hmm. There are ranges that go up to 260 million. And of those, 1%, or 2% or 3%, we don't exactly know, mm-hmm. maybe even less than 1%, they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tenor of society, like, you're going to have this show, and ESPN's going to keep going, and I'm going to keep writing. I might start writing about the virus. Like, that might be the thing that I'm going to have to do, because sports isn't coming back anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have bigger problems probably pretty quickly. And it's going to require an enormous societal adjustment in how we think about this stuff. And one day it'll come back, and it'll feel normal again. That's not going to happen for a while.
All right, with your knowledge on just all the, you almost sound like a sports expert for the coronavirus. But Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star sports columnist, how about you talk a little bit then about just how you can be smarter about your day to day to hopefully eventually get this thing curtailed and we start towards that downward trend like you're referring to that could happen in 8, 9, 10 weeks or so?
That's a great, great question. And like the best thing you can do is like go to health experts on this stuff. But I've read enough of them to know like this, it's a super simple stuff is wash your hands.
Yeah.
Wash your hands when you go into a building. Wash your hands when you come out. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands before dinner. Wash your hands after dinner. Don't shake hands with people. Don't touch other people. Don't touch your face. Like, this is not an airborne disease. This isn't the chickenpox where people, you know, they get their kids in a chickenpox party.
Mm-hmm.
It's airborne. You're in a room with someone with chickenpox, you can get the chickenpox. That's not how this works. This is droplet-based. This is like the flu in that if I sneeze on you and I've got it and you're 6 feet away, then you can get it. If we shake hands and I've wiped my nose and we shake hands and you touch your face, you can get it. So one thing that someone said, wash your hands like you just handled jalapenos and you got to put your contacts in. Like you got to almost assume that the whole world right now is jalapenos, and that you've got to touch your eyes, right? Like that's you have to be a little bit scared of what you're doing with your hands. And once you do that, stay away from large groups of people. Don't travel where you don't have to travel. Canada just put out an advisory that Canadians should not travel to other countries right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's March break here. Kids are going on vacation. Canada said don't. Don't go places you don't have to go. Just pull it back for a while. If you can work from home, work from home. The problem you've got is the United States, it'd be better if there were better legislation to protect workers in that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be better if there's a lot of people who can't do that, who can't just work from home. All you can do then is just have the best public health that you can. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, and stay away from as many people as you can.
Bruce, we had some good things happen today. What I'm referring to there is Zion Williamson, Kevin Love, Blake Griffin, Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's a number of players that are putting up money to do their part. All those stadium workers that obviously are going to be out of work for the time being, and we'll see how long that is. What are you expecting? Because I'm starting to see owners step up as well. The Golden State Warriors put $1 million, and this was in collaboration with the players, ownership, and so forth. The Clippers, the Kings, and the Los Angeles Lakers doing something similar. What are you expecting from some of these leagues, these owners? What do you want to see from some of these teams?
Well, the Zion one is the one I love the most.
Yeah.
Because Zion's 19 years old, and he mentioned in that statement that, you know, the people of New Orleans, they're still, some of them are still struggling from Katrina. Like, to have that awareness, to say, it's not just a dollar figure, I'm going to cover whatever it takes.
Hmm.
That was beautiful. That's what we can be, you know? Like, the thing with something like a pandemic is it makes you realize you need good government and we need to take care of each other. And that's what Zion Williamson did and Giannis did and all those athletes did. Now, at the bigger scale, it's good that organizations have stepped forward. The ones who don't, the sports organizations and billionaire owners who do not step forward and cover off these part-time workers should be remembered and not well. Because think about it. In New Orleans, the owner of the New Orleans Hornets, after Zion Williamson's statement and commitment, said, you know, there are our employees necessarily, we're just renters, but we're going to see what we can do. He shamed his owners into doing it, right? Like the Milwaukee Bucks matched after Giannis decided to put the money up. The owners should have been out in the front on this, but if you cheer for a franchise whose owners let their part-time workers linger and just go out and they don't take care of them during this, then that is not a team that represents your community in any positive way, and you should remember it. God bless the people who are stepping forward to try to help their fellow citizens right now, because that's what this is about.
Bruce, but that's that. I think you put it perfectly, too, just kind of the players stepped up, or there's a couple players here that stepped up first, and now you got to hope and see that, all right, other owners are saying, okay, that's what a beautiful thing. I got to do that, too. We got to do that. But there's something, too, if somebody doesn't do it, you're going to remember who doesn't do it in these times. You know, that team or that owner or that franchise that doesn't do something similar, they're going to stand out 100%. They're going to stand out.
Well, like, so I went to the grocery store last night. So last night was kind of the first night after all sports were canceled. All these things were canceled. Broadway's not doing shows. And I just have an ordinary kind of blue-collar supermarket. Those lines were longer than they are on New Year's Eve. My cashier had been working 7 hours without a break. You could feel the tension in there. People had crates of bottled water on their shoulders. Like, people were worried. And I think a lot of people are going to worry. And they should. The panic buying probably isn't going to help. Hoarding isn't going to help. Any of that. Just remember, when you're standing in line at the supermarket and it feels lousy, right? Like, and you feel tense and you feel worried, just remember the person in front of you thinks the same thing. They're feeling the same way. Like, we are, as a society, both Canada and the United States, and frankly, globally, it's a global thing. We are all in this together to a degree, right? Like, you have to, again, you have to take care of each other. The example of those athletes, the example of people who are going out of their way to try to be good, that's the stuff we should be looking towards right now. We should be looking towards the institutions and the people who actually try to take care of vulnerable people. And right now, there's a lot of vulnerable people all over the world. It's mostly old people, but a lot of us are going to get this. And the more you know about it, the better informed you are, and the better you are to your fellow people, and sometimes that's by getting away from them, the better off we're all going to be.
Bruce, I got one final one, and fantastic insight, by the way. Last one, I read a couple tweets before we had you on. Chris Haynes put out a tweet. Toronto Raptors say all players tested negative for the coronavirus, but there's one still pending. I want to make sure I kind of put this the right way, but that's obviously very positive news. In the world of sports, just because these athletes are going up the way they are against each other and they're sweating and their bodies are colliding, we're talking about just giving elbow instead of, shaking somebody's hands, just kind of connecting with elbows. How much of a concern, you know, once the Rudy Gobert thing went down, how much of a concern do you think that was just around all the leagues? Put the fans aside, put all that aside, but just the kind of the activity between the players, how much do you think that was? That is still a concern simply because of what happened with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Well, it always is because, I mean, these guys share locker rooms, they share buses, they share planes, different teams share planes. you play against someone and then you play against someone else. Like, there's constant movement. They travel around. If you were going to design a program to spread like viruses, NBA and NHL teams are pretty good. And it, within teams, this has always been a concern with teams. Like, when we've gotten stuff like the mumps went through the NHL and six different teams got it a few years ago, including Sidney Crosby, the best player in hockey at the time. And these guys are in really close proximity. One thing Adam Silver said on TNT Thursday night, the other thing is, people look to our athletes as examples. And that's something that when the NBA and the NHL come back, when Major League Baseball comes back, the bar in terms of public health is going to have to be so high to make sure the athletes aren't at risk of infection, and above all, to make sure that if fans are let back into the building, that they are not at risk of infection. The one thing you can say about sports that is pretty negative going into this, they knew this was a risk. All the pro sports knew this was a risk, and they kept playing until they couldn't, until Rudy tested positive. And if he hadn't, they would have kept playing until someone else did. They tried to grab every last dollar and weren't proactive. They were reactive. Now we'll see how much they listen to the ideals and the science of public health before they come back. Because honestly, I would bet within a month, people are going to look at sports and say, you can't come back unless it's safe.
Bruce, fantastic stuff. Really appreciate that insight. And he's got a great article right now, Toronto Star sports columnist, an accidental hero makes North America sit up and take notice of the coronavirus. Appreciate you taking that time. All right, man?
Alan, it's my pleasure, man.
All right, Bruce, thank you. We're going to have Bruce is going to come back on. We'll have to do that soon. But tremendous insight. Obviously, there's somebody right there that kind of understood the perfect balance there of merging the sports part and the virus, you know, that kind of bring things to light. The Rudy Gobert thing, that took it to another level for me, and it probably took it to another level for a lot of people that are out there. Okay, your guys' phone calls when we come back, and then Jesse Curtis, I got to get your guys' thoughts on a couple things here. We got to get into a few things here. Dr. Michael Osterholm was on Mason in Ireland, and then some of the stuff Bruce was saying. Got a little uneasy there. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, let me take a couple quick calls here. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Sliwa Show. Manuel and Gardena, appreciate you calling in, Manuel. How you doing, man?
Oh, my man, the Sliwa Stack. Hey, I was telling our guy Jesse.
Yep.
It's been like a silver lining, man, in this whole situation. No sports, but every day, all day with Sliwa. I've been hearing you coming in on other shows too, man, and I love it, man. I wish it could be under different circumstances.
Crazy stuff, bro.
You know what? You and Preguntale a Kirk brought up a good thing earlier. It's like, it was less than a week ago, we were relishing a Milwaukee Bucks win, a win over the Clippers that was basically like the biggest win the franchise has had in about
years.
7 years.
Right, right.
And to this, I mean, this thing ain't no joke, man. I'm glad that Adam Silver took the bull by the horns and established it when he did to allow Rudy Gobert to be that accidental hero. That was very well put by your last guest. Slee Stack, man, keep up the good work, man. You are destined for greatness.
Hey, Manuel, I appreciate it, man. Look, a couple things I want to take from there. It is, I think, one of those things where just kind of use that as an example, what Bruce was mentioning, Bruce Arthur. It's a fascinating way for Bruce to put it. Jess and Curtis, feel free to hop in here, but it's a fascinating way that he put it. You know, I did Lakers talk, okay? And Monday I'm talking about, you know, if the Lakers could just beat or you got to beat Brooklyn, or postgame show, actually, I'm sorry, on Tuesday. I'm saying, you know, here we are, we lose to the Brooklyn Nets, and this is going to hurt first place in the standings. We got a chance at the Milwaukee Bucks. And Bruce putting it the way he put it on Tuesday, where or on Wednesday, that Rudy Gobert, the joke that he played, not taking it seriously, might be one of the better things that's happened in this whole thing, because then we all took it seriously.
I mean, it's...
Was that your turning point? That was my turning point.
Yeah, probably.
On the air.
Because it's something that, you know, NBA players travel a lot. So it's the fact that, you know, this guy can just walk into a stadium with an arena of 18,000, 20,000 plus fans, and they can all potentially catch it from there, and then they all scatter.
And then it had a face, right? Like, remember, Jess, we were back there, and you were actually mentioning to me on Twitter, something's going on in Oklahoma City. And I don't know, I still wasn't...
Yeah, it was like literally 20 minutes before we were going
to
go on air.
It's starting to happen, and we're reading tweets off, and it says, okay, well, now the players are told to go back. But did you think that was going to drop? And the moment that dropped, and then 4 minutes later, Adam Silver comes out and says, NBA is, you know, the season is suspended. I don't know. For me, it was like, okay, not only is this thing real, but nothing else kind of matters right now.
No, yeah, at that point, it just, who else has it? Where did it come from? Because that I think that also is the point, because we don't know where he got it from. He's the one we know who has it. I mean, for all we know, could it have been Donovan Mitchell to give it to Rudy Gobert? We don't know.
And you know, the thing is about that, it's like how it was contracted, that's kind of a whole separate conversation. But just the fact that it made it real, and I think it put it all in front of us to where, you know, we looked at everything differently, and then
yeah,
anybody who's a sports fan, their life was going to change because, like, okay, sports is gone.
You know what it kind of did too? It put, you know, if this big guy NBA star can get it,
sure,
I can get it.
Oh, no question about it.
And it's putting, even for like the tests that are available, there aren't a whole lot of tests available. So if you have the symptoms and you go to the hospital and try to get a test, they likely won't give you that test. So it's just.
Not yet, right? Like,
yeah, not yet.
They're still working on all that stuff.
Yeah, because there's not enough supplies. So it's just. You know, it's just crazy. I'm still in shock and belief that we have gotten to this point, and it's a snowball, and it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Joe in L.A. Joe, appreciate you calling in. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Joe.
Listen. We've opened the Pandora's box,
mm-hmm.
and to take a reality check, for over 100 years, maybe more,
mm-hmm.
people have been sitting in stands at events. Sporting events, concerts, whatever, plays. They've been congregating for years and years and years. And this thing coming out now is not the first virus mm-hmm. that's ever been introduced to the human population.
Sure, sure.
Everything has gone the way it goes. And no matter what you do, I don't care if you stay home. You may have, you could catch something somewhere. Who knows how? It's airborne. It may be another, you know, in China's case, they ate, you know, this is called a zoonotic virus. Coronavirus is not today. It's been around. There are a number of coronaviruses.
Sure, it's a type of virus, right?
What I'm only asking the people to do, because this box has now been opened,
mm-hmm.
and the precedent is being set. It's been set. Think about the future. Next year, the flu virus itself, by the way, is a coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a genome. It's a genome. It's a family. It's a family of viruses. And next year, when the flu virus comes, which kills a lot more people, and I think all of us know this, but a lot more than what this thing is.
I think, Joe, and I appreciate you calling in. I think the main thing to keep in mind is that a lot of people don't know about this virus. And I think there's this, for what they do know, they're trying to stop it from spreading. And if one of the ways of stopping it from spreading is making sure that there aren't these big audiences, there aren't these big crowds. You know, the reason why sporting events are so affected, that social distancing that they're talking about, the goal is to try and stop the spread of the virus. So the best way to do that is smaller crowds. So I listen, if you're trying to reference that they're taking too much precaution, wouldn't you rather have too much precaution than not enough? I mean, Bruce was mentioning it in our call. Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star sports columnist. I thought he explained it perfectly. He was, what if Rudy Gobert didn't contract the virus? Would the NBA have stopped playing its games? Would MLB stop spring training? Would the NCAA tournament stop? I don't think anything would have stopped. You think something would have stopped, Curtis?
No, it all seemed like a domino effect. It was like, okay, one person, like the NBA took a hold of this, and
NBA
then
said,
everyone was like, okay, now we can take this seriously. But it seems too late.
NBA
it seems like a reaction.
NBA said it's now in our league, and it's got our handprints on it because Rudy Gobert is one of their players, and it was immediate of like, all right, this thing's gotta. What do you guys think? By the way, the UFC stuff. Do you guys hear Dana White there? Am I missing something on Dana White?
No, that clip pretty much says who Dana White is, and you don't really need to say anything else.
By the way,
that.
This isn't a personal what he is or anything like that. But
dumb, come on, same thing with WWE. Like, what are you doing?
Why?
Yeah,
like, why if all the other leagues, like, let's just take the precaution. I'm telling you right now, you guys come to me and say, hey, Al, got two tickets, big UFC event coming on. What do you think? I'm not going.
I'll watch it from home.
I'm not going to. I just mentioned this earlier today. Hanging out at Starbucks and doing prep work. I sneezed today at Starbucks. If you
Bad
would
idea.
Have saw the looks that I got at Starbucks, and I don't even blame them. You know, just a regular sneeze. You know, just a regular sneeze. I got a look from a girl. She was like, kind of like, "How dare you?" I'm like, I don't know. I can't stop it. Any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's. That's what the world we kind of live in now is. If you're
everyone's
out,
hyper sensitive,
hyper alert, and yeah, and if you do a little, whoa, hey,
you did that back there when we were prepping, and you said, but you had drank water.
Yeah,
and
I said, don't worry, guys. This is I'm just you know the water.
And if
right
I
down
didn't
the wrong
hear
throat,
the water, then I'd have been like, all right, I'm going to go into another studio. I'm
yeah,
go
I,
to another
I did
room.
That to Jess yesterday. I warned him right before a cough. I was like, hey, man, I promise you, it's not this. I got to tell you, here it goes.
Yeah, and you know that's. That's how we kind of got to live now, at least until this is more controlled.
I want to get your guys' thoughts. I want to get your thoughts on Dr. Michael Ostrom, who was on with Mason Ireland. Mace mentioned it too. He was on with Joe Rogan on his podcast a couple days ago. Here's his thoughts on when sports can actually come back.
Well, first of all, you got to break into two different pieces because making a decision whether you come back into sports or not is all dependent on what you're willing to accept for what's going on in the community. And if it's based on what has happened now for most professional sporting events, it means that there has to be very little of any activity in the community, which could be months and months and months. So I think that's where people are going to have to come back in and say, maybe we pulled this a little early or maybe we didn't, but we're going to accept the fact that it's not going to be absent from our community to actually bring those sports back. But in terms of, you know, how will this look over the next coming months?
All right, that's Dr. Michael Ostrom. He continues on his point. Doesn't know if everything closing down will help. These are not things I want to hear.
I think we need much more definition on this. I mean, for example, our governor here in Minnesota today, I applaud him for a very brave move. He did not close the schools here. He said, we're going to follow this, and you know, because we don't have the data, the closing schools will really make a difference in transmission of this virus like we do have for influenza. But on the flip side, you know that right now 35% of the nurses in areas like here have kids who are in K through 12. And of those, 20% said that if we had no school, they would not be able to come to work. They'd have to stay home and take care of the kids. And if we lost 20% of the nurses and we would lose other healthcare professionals in the same manner, that would really put a burden on our healthcare challenge right now.
All right. I'm more worried than I've ever been. That work for everybody? Does that work for everybody? No, here's the reality.
As you grab the
disinfectant.
Wipes.
As I grab the disinfectant. Let me say that I already am on high alert with everything going on. How can you not be? I mean, how can you not be? All right, we're supposed to do some, we're supposed to kind of talk about this weekend. What are we supposed to watch? I mean, we got to, I see everybody now putting this Netflix stuff on their lists.
I have a couple of movies and shows that I've saw on Netflix. Some new ones, some old ones, just, you know, some stuff to fill out the weekend when you're obviously not going to be watching any sports. You're just going to be watching whatever streaming platform service you got.
Curtis, keep it in mind too. All right, keep the movies in mind. The one thing I got to actually see and I haven't seen yet, have you guys seen Chinatown or no?
Yeah, I've seen it before. Fantastic movie. Sure. You've never seen Chinatown?
Just have you seen
it? Oh, my Lord.
That's all.
Well, it's a good movie.
Well, I have to see it now because if Mason's going to play Chinatown every single time, and there's many times I drive right by Chinatown to get home, so maybe that's my weekend must-see Chinatown.
All right, do you at least know who's the star of that movie?
No, who is it? Tell me, and then I'll tell you if I know.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jack's the star.
A young Jack Nicholson. Gosh. Yeah, it's an old movie, but it's a good movie. I actually saw it for the first time. Hey, there it is. For the first time in film class.
When I hear that, I feel like I'm with Mason, number one, and I feel like I'm in crosstalk, and either I'm about to start the show by myself or I'm about to go on with them. That's what that music does. Mace has been a incredible promoter to the show.
Oh, definitely. He supports you 100%. He supports you the most out of everyone here.
I think he supports the music and that he's in the promos to it. And then I'm third.
Oh, that's
on that
a big
list.
Part is the fact that he's part of, you know, he's a part of our show without even being here.
And I'm third on that list. Okay, what kind of movies
he's
do you
your
have?
Your number
there?
One fan.
Something definitely. Like that. You could fade that out now. That could go. Go ahead.
All right. So if you want to watch any movies, I actually haven't seen any movies lately. I've just been watching like TV shows and documentaries. But I kind of glancing over my queue, I saw that Gridiron Gang is back on Netflix. And if you miss sports, that's a pretty good movie to watch. You know, it's starring Dwayne.
Layeth the smacketh down.
Dwayne Johnson.
He's a counselor at a juvenile detention. That he basically decides to try to teach the kids he's in charge of.
Is it serious or is it?
No, it's serious, but there's a couple heartfelt moments there.
Okay.
He's just trying to kind of give a second chance to the kids that he's in charge of, and it becomes a football team.
It's inspired on a real event. What was the one you were talking about yesterday, the documentary? Because I remember opening up Netflix yesterday and it came up.
For Netflix. Trials of Gabriel Fernandez.
That's what it
was. So that's the big one right now. But I mean, that's a really heavy documentary to watch.
At a time like this, I'm in.
I mean, yeah.
You know how they try to lighten up the mood?
Yeah,
I'm like, no, get me deeper down.
Okay, then that's the perfect documentary for you. If you want to try to watch something a little different, or that's more of a show, I got two shows for you. Hentified, which is about three Mexican-Americans' cousins who are trying to help their grandpa save the taqueria.
Since we're running out of time, pick one. So Chinatown, should I do Chinatown out of everything?
Yeah, you know what? Do Chinatown everything because that's the most important
one.
100%. Curtis, what do you got? What do you got over there?
Do you like Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah, I like Breaking Bad.
But I barely saw El Camino. It was great.
Okay, so Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul came after that. I saw part of Better Call Saul, but I never saw
the whole
thing.
El Camino is that video that it's the thing that takes off. After you follow
Jesse Pinkman's
after
story
at the end of Breaking Bad.
So this one's on Pinkman.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good one. Also, good. McMillions on HBO. That's a good one.
McMillions. Okay, McMillions, Chinatown.
Oh, hi, Adam.
Hello. I'm going to do McMillions and Chinatown this weekend.
There you go. McMillions is the one I just started watching today, but I'm excited to finish it. I heard that one on the Yo-Yo-Yo podcast.
Who am I kidding? I'm going to be on the news the whole
weekend.
No,
you're not.
All right?
I'm going to text you and make sure you're watching these movies.
I got to see one of them. All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Sliwa Show back on Monday. Don't forget Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ on Monday as well, 6 a.m. Dr. Clapper tomorrow morning.